If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter 4 that we began working through last week. If you will excuse my voice today, the cold bug has finally caught me and I just have an extremely dry mouth. So excuse me if I'm coughing or having to sip water. We'll get through this by God's grace. So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. We began looking at last Sunday. This is the section we're going to draw our year verse from for this year. It's a critically important passage for us in this time in history because there are so many numerous indications that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very soon, and Peter reminds us of that with his opening words in verse 7, the end of all things is near at hand. In the Library of Congress, in the main meeting room, and the Library of Congress originally was in the U.S. Capitol, but in the main reading room, there is an inscription there that most people don't know is there and would infuriate others if they did know it was there. And this is what it says. One God, one law, one element, and one far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. All of history is awaiting the moment of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in light of that, and Peter starts this section with that thought, in light of that, last week I asked you us the question, what would you tell a believer to be concerned about in light of the imminent soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Peter gave us his Holy Spirit-directed, Holy Spirit-inspired answers that would probably be different than if we had actually sat down and made up our own list. Maybe there'd be a couple of similarities, but I imagine they were different. But what Peter was telling us was that the fact that the Lord Jesus' return is soon, is imminent, it ought to make a difference in how we live. And so he lists four ways that this soon coming event ought to impact us. We looked at three of them last week. Let me just very quickly review them, and then we'll pick up the fourth one, and then we'll hone all this in on what's going to be our year verse. So impact number one was found in the last part of verse 7. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And so we talked about how imperative it is to keep our minds safe, to keep our minds clear from all the junk, the false truths, all the clutter that can come into our minds, and then how imperative it is to keep our spirits free from poisonous intoxicants, poisonous attitudes that can infiltrate our spirit and really do damage to us physically, mentally, spiritually. But so we have to keep ourselves, there has to be a sobriety in our spirits that keeps us free from these intoxicants. And so he says, we're going to need the sound judgment. We're going to need the sober spirits for the purpose of prayer. Because we're going to be coming to the Lord. We're going to need guidance. We're going to need comfort. We're going to need direction. We're going to need peace. We're going to need comfort. We're going to need hope in this chaotic world that becomes more chaotic. And if we're not of sound judgment and sober spirits, we're not going to be able to come in the right frame of mind to lay all this out before the Lord and to seek him and to hear his voice to us. So that's impact number one. Impact number two is verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. So Peter is telling us that he's telling us we have to go further than just loving one another. That's assumed as Christians. But he says, as Christians, don't just love one another, but fervently love one another. As that other New English translation I put up there for you, it says, keep your love at full strength. And this kind of love then enables a multitude of sins to be covered instead of us being sensitive and irritated and offended over slight things, all of which really flow from selfishness in our hearts. Impact number three was verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. And we talked about how hospitality is just a practical expression of love to someone. God wants our homes, yes, to be that place of shelter and safety, but he also wants it to be a tool for ministry. One of the best tools, we said, for evangelism, for ministry, is our homes. To the group that was here Wednesday night, I shared a, jumping off of this, I shared an article about hospitality. Allow me just to read one short paragraph for those of you that weren't here. The kitchen table has a way of breaking down barriers between people. As we sip our coffee and eat our pie, we share stories about what led us to live in our city, how we met our spouses, what we studied in college, how we came to faith in Christ. One conversation leads to another, and by the end of the evening, we have made new friends. Just something about sharing that meal together can break down walls and barriers and enable you to have conversations that maybe you wouldn't have in another type of setting. So hospitality is a way to show love and use our homes as a tool for ministry. And then Peter adds, look at it, the rest of the verse, he adds a qualifying thing here. He says, do all of this without complaint, or literally it means without mumbling under your breath about doing this. There was a family that was entertaining their pastor and wife for a Sunday dinner on a very hot, blistering summer day. And so when they all were seated around the table, the father, for some reason, decided to ask his six-year-old to say the blessing. And so the six-year-old looked at his father and said, Daddy, I don't know what to say. And so mom chimed in and just say what you've heard me say. And so the little boy obediently bowed his head and said, oh, Lord, why did I invite these people here on a hot day like this? Apparently there had been a little bit of complaining going on about a past having the people over. But, you know, if we complain, can't really be doing it out of love. The complaining kind of cancels out the true expression of love. So those were the ones we looked at last year. You can get a fuller explanation of them if you weren't here by listening online. But there's one more impact in Peter's list about how we should be impacted by the soon return of the Lord. It's found in verse 10, called impact number 4. It reads this way. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So let's just kind of just walk through this verse, taking these phrases one by one. Let's start with, notice it says each one. And so if you are a genuine believer in Christ, God has gifted you, whether you feel like it or not, God has gifted you for the purpose of serving Him, serving His body, the church. He doesn't just hand out gifts to a select few. He doesn't just hand out gifts to the top 10%, whatever that means. But it says each one, each genuine follower of Christ, He has plans for that follower to use that follower in His church to serve one another and to honor Him. Now, it's speaking primarily of spiritual gifts. And if it's been a while since you've read spiritual gifts, they're found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, although I don't believe that's an exhaustive list. But it's speaking primarily of spiritual gifts, but I think you could also include here natural gifts and talents. I don't think you have to exclude those. But all of these are given, particularly spiritual gifts, are given for the purpose of serving. Of serving. And thus, through those gifts and talents, we serve as a steward, giving those talents, those gifts back to Him. And so every one of us, if you're a follower of Christ, God has gifted you in some way to benefit, to encourage the body of Christ and to honor Him. All right, keep reading. It says, employ it in serving one another. The word employ is an action word. You can't sit on it. It's an action word. Each one has been given a gift as well as talents, which are to be put into action serving one another. Now, as you think about serving one another, serving the body, it kind of adds a little bit more importance to what Peter had talked about earlier, that we have to fervently love one another because that kind of love covers a multitude of sins. Because in your service, in your serving one another, in your serving the body, it will not always be easy. It will not always be convenient. It will not always be acknowledged. And other things as well. And so it's going to require us being active in our love for each other, fervent in our love for each other, to serve, because it's not always easy or appreciated. Keep reading. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards. Now, a steward in the New Testament times was someone who managed his master's affairs in whatever areas he had been given a supervision over. But he knew that none of the things over which he had supervision and responsibility belonged to him. They all belonged to his master. And therefore, everything he did made him answerable to his master. And everything he did had to be done for the interest, in the interest of the master. So therefore, to use one's gifts properly in serving one another, if we do that faithfully, if we do that in faith to Christ, obedience to Christ, and service to him and to his church, makes us a good and faithful steward. Now let's flip that. Let's flip it. If I use my gift selfishly, if I use my gift because I want to draw attention to me in some way, or if I just choose not to use my gift, what does that make us? A bad, unfaithful steward. A bad, unfaithful steward. And Jesus had some pretty severe pronouncements against unfaithful stewards. And so one way, as I thought about it, was thinking about it, was the question came to my mind was, do I really want to stand before the Lord to give an account, this one who has given everything for me at such tremendous cost, and to say something to the effect of, I really didn't use my gifts and my talents that you gave me to serve, to bring glory. I was too busy. I was too involved with other things. I had other hobbies or interests, or there were others I felt that were more talented, experienced, or I did it one time, but I'm older now. I won't let other people do it. I mean, is that really how I want to give an accounting to this one who has given his all for us? It says God has given you a gift. What did he give it to you for? To serve and to honor him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't ever take breaks and say no. But there are some in this body who have served not years, but decades in the same position. Maybe one of them I'm thinking of, probably right after the flood, started serving in that position. But decades. And I'm grateful. I am so grateful for joyful willingness. But maybe they've served for so long because others weren't willing to be good stewards of their gifts, and therefore there wasn't other people to step up to serve in that place. It seems to me that we're either going to be classified as good stewards or bad, unfaithful stewards with the gifts God has given to us. What are you doing with yours? Keep reading. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There are many gifts. You can look at those passages, although I said I don't think that's an exhaustive list. But there's different shades of gift. There's different expressions of gifts. In fact, the word manifold simply means many-colored. It was used of a piece of cloth or a robe that had many colors to it. And so you could think about it as the many-colored grace of God. It manifests itself in so many different ways. We're not all alike, are we? We don't all use our gifts even alike. Even if you have the same gift, you can have two people with, say, the gift of teaching, and how they teach, how they explain, how they illustrate, how they apply may be totally different. One of the reasons I show videos of other people teaching the Word of God or have people in there. I mean, I granted sometimes I do it because I'm sick or I have to be out of town. But other reasons, other times I do it for the reasons for you to get a different flavor of someone that's been gifted, but God's expression of grace through him is a little different in terms of how he goes about teaching a truth, teaching a passage. And so you think about, you know, when light shines through a prism, you get all the colors of the rainbow, and God's grace is kind of like that. God may bestow his grace upon me and shine through me, and it may, for figurative speaking, it may come out green. It may come out with you blue, or light blue, or gray blue, or brown, or orange, or red orange. All those color crayons, I'm remembering those colors in my color crayon box right now. But it's a multicolored grace that expresses itself in how God wants to use me and the way he's wired me and put me together. We come from different backgrounds. We come with different customs. The way we analyze things, the way we respond to situations, all that's different with us. And it all factors in as we rely on God and his grace manifesting itself through us and our gifts because of how different we are. And I think God delights in seeing that. His grace is not monotone. So no gift, no person is too small to be used by the Lord. In fact, Jesus used the most common people to turn the world upside down through the enablement of his Spirit and the gifts he gave to those people. I like the way, the New English Bible puts this verse. It reads, "Serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you, as faithful dispensers of the magnificently varied grace of God." And just because someone else is using the kind of gift you have doesn't mean yours is not needed. Again, there's a different color to it in your life. John Templeton was the founder of the Templeton Growth Fund. He was one of the greatest investors of our time. When he was young, he wanted to be a missionary. And during his time at Yale and later at Oxford, he would run into missionaries. He would engage them, get to know them, converse with them, and so forth. And through the process, he came to the conclusion that he was not called to be a missionary. He didn't have the stuff to be a missionary. But this is what he said. He said, "I realized that they had more talent as missionaries than I did. But I also realized I had more talent with money than they did. And so I decided to devote myself to helping the missionaries financially." And that's what he did. He wasn't gifted. He wasn't called to be a missionary. But God gave him the ability to make money, invest money, and give it liberally to help Christian causes. So here's the progression. From God to me to you. From God to us to each other, to serve one another with the gifting that God has given to each one of us. And so when we stand before the Lord, he's going to want to know, he's going to ask the question, what have you done with what I've given you, with what I gifted you with to build up the body of Christ, to bring glory to my name? Keep reading. Verse 11. "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies." So Peter divides spiritual gifts into two groups, the speaking gifts, the serving, the helping gifts. But notice he says, whether you're speaking or serving, you do it by being guided by God and by being enabled by God to do whatever he's called you and gifted you to do. And so for the people who are involved in speaking type gifts, we don't get up and speak our opinions, speak our passions. We speak how the Lord guides and directs in truth to his word. For people who are in helping, serving type of gift ministries, we do it in dependence upon God to enable us to honor him and serve his people through that way. But he's the one who gives the gifts. They belong to him. And so how foolish it is for us to think that somehow I can live out and use this gift without being dependent upon him in whatever way needs to be in terms of that particular gift. All right, keep reading. The last part of verse 11. "So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now that's very important, because what it's saying is ultimately the highest reason, as well as responsibility, for serving one another with the gifts we have been given is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk about God's glory, I find it a lot of times people are just, it's kind of a cloudy thing. They are kind of a nebulous concept. So let's just think a little bit about it. The word glory in the Old Testament bears kind of the idea of greatness of splendor, the greatness of splendor of this God. The term glory in the New Testament carries more the idea of dignity and honor and worship of this God. So if you put those two concepts, Old Testament, New Testament, together, maybe one definition we could come up with would be this. Glorifying God means to acknowledge and to show his greatness and to give him honor by praising and worshiping him. Acknowledging, showing his greatness, serving, using my gifts, giving him honor by praising and worshiping him. So, as we think about gifts here, that's the subject here in verse 11. To glorify God means to show forth his greatness. So let me kind of put it down in on the bottom shelf. We could say it this way. To glorify God is to make him look as great as he really is. In my service, in my praise, in my worship, but to picture God, to make God look as great as he truly, really is. Think about it this way. If a photographer glorifies some natural wonder in nature by taking this incredible picture, what he does is he makes us celebrate and delight in the intense beauty of that scene. And we see that photograph, and I love photographs of nature, of mountains and so forth. But we see that photograph, and we guess, look at the colors, look at the spectacularness, the grandeur of that picture. I want to go there. I want to go see that thing in person, not just on a picture. Or if a literary critic explains a person's work of writing, whether it's a novel, whether it's fiction, whether it's nonfiction, and in his critique, he brings out the uniqueness, the richness of the author's words and the plot in the book. And you read that and you exclaim, wow, I want to read that book. Now, when the photographer or the literary critic does his work rightly, we don't necessarily extol the photographer or the critic. We extol the object of what they're talking about or the object of what they've taken a picture of. We say, what a beautiful scene, what a tremendous work of writing. And so when we as Christians properly glorify God, people should want to explain what a great God that God is, that person belongs to or serves. Look how God so used that person, or I'm so grateful for how God has used you in my life. It should invoke praise to how great God is as we use our gifts properly in serving one another. That's the primary reason why we serve one another with our gifts, to bring glory to God, to make God look to others as great as he really is. So, one major reason why not using my gifts to serve one another. One reason, major reason, why not using my gifts and talents is so serious, and I'll put it up here for you, is because by not using them, I hinder in one degree or another, but I hinder God's glory from being seen through my life. We hinder it, that color of grace being seen in the unique working of the gift God has given to me. We hinder it. Or if you want to really be blunt about it, we rob God of some of the glory he wanted to get through us using our gifts in honor of him to serve one another. Therefore, do you think that's a serious thing to the Lord? if we're doing something or not doing something, but the result is it hinders the glory of God from being seen in us. Is that something serious to the Lord? You see, this is, you begin to understand this part of the verse and you realize this is so much bigger, so much more important than just me serving and doing a job in a church. It's number one, it's about being a good rather than an unfaithful steward. And number two, it's about bringing and not hindering glory being given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that elevates the faithful using of gifts to an entirely different level, I think. Entirely different level. So in light of that, let's ask ourselves some questions. Application. What am I doing with the gifts, with the talents God has given to me? Not someone else. What am I doing with the gifting God has gifted me with? Second question. Is my church better, stronger, healthier because I'm here? In other words, have I contributed to my church being healthier through the use of my gifts and dependence upon God for His glory? Third question. Am I being a good or bad steward, using or wasting God's gift to me? Fourth question, last one. Am I enabling or am I hindering God's glory being seen through my life, through my gifting, through my serving one another? Now, we've noted here that the context of this passage, the context of these commands have to do with the return of the Lord. And so as the Holy Spirit is guiding Peter in writing this list, that's to be our focus as we wait upon the return of Christ, this is a Holy Spirit-inspired list. So as we eagerly await Christ's return, the Holy Spirit says our focus, watch this now, our focus is to be primarily others. Otherness. You look at the list there, there's four of them. Three out of the four directly relate to how we respond, how we interact with others. Fervently loving one another, showing hospitality to one another, serving one another with the gifts God has given to us. Others is to be our focus as we await the return of Christ. So that's the passage. Now, let's think about it in terms of our year verse. I would love to just made the whole passage the year verse, but I have reduced it down to verse 10 in the last half of verse 11, so it reads this way. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's a little longer than last year's, but you can do it. But here's the purpose of it. I'm calling us to be good stewards of the gifts and talents God has given to each one who's a follower of Christ by employing them in serving one another for the purpose of bringing glory to the Lord. That's the call, that's the challenge for us this year through this verse. To be good stewards of the gifts God has given to us, to serve one another and bring glory to God. Now, let me say something, and please, I'm not trying to do any kind of scolding or guilt tripping. I hope I don't come across that way. But number one, this is what God says to us, and not just to a handful of people in the church, but to everyone who is a follower of Christ. This is what God says. You have been gifted spiritual gifts. You have some natural talents and abilities as well. But He's gifted you for the purpose of serving others to bring glory to God. But number two, and I'll be up front. I have an agenda here. We have some needs here. There are some things, regular things, that are not going to happen this year unless new servers step up and use their gifts and use their talents and use their abilities. The same people can't keep doing them. And I realize some of you, maybe many of you, probably do not know how many ministries some people are responsible for or engaged in. And they just can't keep doing it all. And so there are going to be some things that aren't going to happen this year unless we take this passage to heart and accept the challenge that God's put before us. Because if you say, for example, I don't have time right now, I'm young, I want to be with my friends during this period of my life. If you say, I don't have time because I have young children at home that demands all my time. If you say, I don't have time because I have children in school, there's homework, there's activities, there's sports activities, or if you homeschool, I have to even prepare the schooling on top of that. And by the way, let me just add something to that whole concept of the children and education. May I suggest to you that part of a good, godly education is bringing your children alongside of you as you serve and developing in them a love, not just for Christ, but for Christ's church. Not just for Christ, but Christ's church. And that's far more important than so many other activities they can be involved in. And listen to me. I guarantee you, 10, 15 years down the road, that's going to be far more important. Their love for Christ, their love for Christ's church, their willingness to serve. That's going to be far more important than whether they won a blue ribbon or excelled on the sports field. That will be so much more valuable to you and grateful in your heart to God if they have a love for Christ, Christ's church, and have a servant attitude. Or if someone says, I have the time, but I'm retired, I've done my part, and I want to be able to enjoy the freedom of my retirement years. And so I'm not available. And yet, you are the ones, for the most part, that have walked with the Lord all these years, that have the wisdom and the maturity, the experience to mentor those who are developing their gifts. You're needed. So, if these reasons or others are given, who's left to serve? Who's left to serve? We're going to be talking about this at our annual business meeting. The board's going to be talking about this. But I'll go ahead and tell you now, if you recognize God's call, even today, I need to be involved serving with the gifts God's given me for the glory of God. You can go ahead and see Denise or Jenny, and they can tell you some of the places where we need new servers to step up. But again, I'm just simply calling us to be good stewards of the gifts, the talents, and the abilities God has given to us by employing them in serving one another so God gets the glory. That's our challenge. I don't know what you were expecting from this passage, whether you go in there, whether you went to one of the verses, but that's the challenge I want to lay before you in light of the needs we have as a body here at Grace Alliance Fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, you have given so to us. We know the famous words that you came to serve, to seek and to save. You came as a servant to us. And you call us to follow in those footsteps. But you don't just send us out there. Go serve. But you've actually equipped us in unique ways to fit a specific spot to bring health to the body of Christ, your church. Lord, I know sometimes it feels like in a small church that we're missing some of the gifts we need. That's not my responsibility. You're the giver of gifts. You bring people to unite with us. And so we trust you to provide what we need to perform the ministry you want us to do here. And Lord, maybe you're telling us to reevaluate some things. Maybe we don't need to do everything we need to do. We've done. Maybe there's some new avenues we need to explore. Father, in light of this verse, may we heed the call to be good stewards of the gifts you have given to us and employ them in serving one another so that we do not rob or hinder you from receiving glory from our expression of your gifting of us. For I pray in Christ's name, amen.